Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been on the air for 19 years now, bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for the radio station and for all the prayers and support, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank you for tuning in today. We're going to be having part 5 in our series on the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be called The Holy Spirit and the New Testament Church. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Acts chapter 2, and we'll stay in Acts chapter 2 for most of the message. We may jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 also. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's happening here in Kenya? As I spoke last week, it seems like a broken record. We're having rains just about every day, tremendous rains right now. And so the crops look very good. We're in our second season of growing here in Kenya. You get 2 seasons to grow maize and beans and vegetables. And so we're in our second season, and our maize looks really good, wonderful actually, because of all the rain. And so we'll be harvesting our first crop of maize here in 2 or 3 weeks. And then we have a later planting we'll be harvesting towards the end of December. As I spoke in the prayer time, we're looking for a piece of land to add to an acre that we already have. Then we'll have 2 acres adjoining each other. And we plan to build a primary school there for 200 to 300 students of Makunda Village. And it'll be the only Christian school. There's a Catholic school and a Muslim school in the vicinity of Makunda, but this will be the only evangelical Christian school. We want to have a good Christian environment and teach the subjects so the children can have a good foundation in academics as well as a good Christian environment. So if you want to be a part of that project, it's the next big project on our plate. If you want to be a part of that project, stay tuned for contact information at the end of this broadcast, or you can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can discuss your support for that project. Well, today we're going to be talking about part 5 of the Holy Spirit series, and the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit teaching is neglected in modern day churches. People a lot of times don't have a good understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, what he does in our life, and how he helps us, how he's our advocate. In John 14, Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I will leave the Holy Spirit with you, and he will abide in you and with you." And so when Jesus was crucified, then he came back and he taught the disciples over a 40-day period of time. And it culminated in the first chapter of Acts, the teaching in the first chapter of Acts. Jesus said, "You shall receive power." This is verse 8, Acts chapter 1. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so the Holy Spirit has been given us to empower us, and so that we can be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem and even to the end of the earth. And so that for that means for you that you should seek the Holy Spirit, you should desire the Holy Spirit. When you become a born-again believer, you will receive the Holy Spirit if you're seeking and believing. And so you will become a witness for Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God, everywhere you go. First in your locale, right where you live, then farther out from you will be Judea, then farther out from that will be a more remote place, that's Samaria, and eventually to the remotest part of the earth or to the end of the earth. And so that's God's will for you. He doesn't want silent Christians. He doesn't want Christians that aren't willing to go out and be a witness. He wants you to witness. That's why he gives you the power. And if you have no desire to witness for the kingdom of God. You have no desire to share what God has done for you in your life. If you have no desire to share and express your love and your gratitude for what God has done in your life, you have to wonder if you're really born again. And so I hope you have that desire. I hope you have that urge, that zeal to really get out and do something. Maybe you can come to Africa. There's a group making plans to come over here to Africa this summer. You can email me and let me know you're interested. We can get you hooked up with that group, and maybe you can come on a mission trip. Maybe you can go on a mission trip to Mexico, or maybe go over to North Carolina. There's a group over there called Cabins for Christ that's building cabins for people who have had their homes demolished in the recent hurricanes. And so there's many things you can do to be a witness for Christ. You don't have to get up in the pulpit and preach. You just get out and do something for the kingdom. And that is God's plan. That is God's will. That is why he gives us the Holy Spirit, to empower us that we can do something great for the kingdom. And so that is the plan for your life, because God has given us the Holy Spirit. Well, in Acts chapter 2, just going to review here briefly, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, a stirring in this place where these 120 had gathered. And the Holy Spirit isn't a wind, but it came as a wind. And the reason that wind is used symbolically is because we don't know where the wind is going. We don't know where it comes from. We can't actually see the wind. We see the results of it, the manifestation of it. The trees go back and forth and the grass blows back and forth. Sometimes houses blow down, but you don't actually see the wind. You just see the results of it, and you don't know when it's coming and you don't know when it's going. It may blow big today, especially in Western Kansas. May blow 30 or 40 miles an hour today, and tomorrow be completely still, and you don't know exactly why. Yes, meteorologists have explanations what's happening in the atmosphere, but the Holy Spirit is similar to that. It blows where it wishes. It touches who it wishes. When we go to crusades, we see the results of the Holy Spirit moving through the crowd. Sometimes people cry out. Some people cry big tears. Some people get down on their knees. Some people are blown over by the Holy Spirit. And so there's many different reactions to the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 3, it says, it appeared to them on them as divided tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit isn't fire, but it appears as fire because it burns out, sanctifies, cleanses and burns out, just like a refining fire burns out the dross out of silver or burns out the dross out of gold. And so that fire, when it hits a person, it starts to burn out that sin. It starts to burn out that uncleanness and that rebellion towards God, and that fire will burn it out and purify and bring a person closer to God, make a person want to confess, make a person want to desire to serve God. That comes from our human spirit that we have been given because we're made in the image of God. And so we have that spirit that wants to be with God and desires to serve God and communicate with God. Well, after the Holy Spirit moved through these people, they started to speak in tongues. That's an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was people there. There's a listing here starting in verse 9. There's a listing of people from 16 different nations. There was probably more nations represented there that day on Pentecost. but there's 16 different nations listed here, and the people began to hear the message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, the wonderful works of God. They began to hear it in their own native tongue and their own language. The people, the 120 who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. What they were actually doing was speaking languages unknown to them, but known to the people who were listening. And so it is not a miracle of hearing. It's a miracle of speaking tongues that you don't know that language. You've never been taught that language. You've never studied that language, so you know what you're speaking. That's the gift of speaking in tongues. And it's still in activity today. People still receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People still speak in tongues. They don't know the language they're speaking in most cases, but they are speaking a language where the Holy Spirit just gives them that language and they speak it unknowingly, not knowing what language they are speaking. Sometimes it could be an angelic language. Paul brings up that possibility in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It could be an angelic language, but in most cases, it's a human language that is just unknown to the speaker. Well, how can that be? Well, there's many, many thousands of languages on the earth, and you can't possibly know them all. If you even know two or three and can speak them well, that's very good. Some of these Kenyans speak five or six languages, but most of them are a little bit similar to each other. They're closely related. They all speak English, Swahili, and my people here speak Luya. And there are 17 different dialects of the Luya language. And so the Kenyans around here in my town of Mumias, many of them can speak different dialects of the Luya language. Some of them can also speak Luo, another tribe close to here. And some can speak Kisi, another tribe close to here. And so that is the way they can speak five or six languages. But if you can speak two or three, especially in the USA, you're doing pretty good. Well, there's thousands and thousands of languages, maybe 8 or 10,000, not counting dialects, but major languages in the earth. And so the chances that you are speaking a language that you don't know, if you have the gift of tongues, is very great. You're probably not going to know the language that you speak. And so that is the reason why we have the interpretation of tongues over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is because if you're speaking a message in tongues, God also gives a gift of the interpretation of tongues. So people who are listening in the public setting, that is, in a church setting, people who are listening can have an interpretation in their own language. Well, we'll talk about that later, but right now, in this second chapter of Acts, the New Testament church is kicked off. This is the kickstart for the New Testament church. And if you want to know if your church looks like the New Testament church, just read the second chapter of Acts over and over and over, and you'll see how far many denominations have got away from the template, have got away from the blueprint of the New Testament church. And I'm very thankful for New Testament churches all around the world, but some of them are so far away from the second chapter of Acts. Some of them have gotten so far off in denominational man's teaching, man's doctrine, man's assertion of this and that into the Holy Scripture, and you would not recognize it even as being close or similar to anything you see in the second chapter of Acts. And so Peter gets up, he gives a message here, he explains the gospel message to the people. The great teaching in the second chapter of Acts. Peter gets up, and after he gets done speaking, he says in Acts 2:37, "Now when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Or some of the translations say, "What shall we do to be saved?" Peter had just told them that they are the ones who crucified the Christ, that this Christ was the Son of God, that this Christ is now sitting at the right hand of God. David spoke about it in Psalm 110. This Christ that you crucified is sitting at the right hand of God. Peter explained all this to many thousands listening that day. And they said, what must we do to be saved? Well, one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. We found that out in John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit is on the earth to convict people of their sin, of righteousness, and judgment, convict them of their sin because all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when these people were made aware of their sin, and Peter had spoken this great message to them, they said, what must we do to be saved? Well, you may be in that same situation today. Maybe you're not a born-again believer. Maybe you've never confessed Jesus. Maybe you've never even thought about it before listening today. Your situation is no different than all these thousands of people who were listening here on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. You have to ask the Lord, what must I do to be saved? Well, in verse 38, Peter answers to them and he says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why repent? Repent means turn from your wicked ways. Repent means go another direction. You confess your sin when you become aware of the fact that you're a sinner and all people have sinned. You don't need to think that you're somehow more sinful or more disgusting in God's eyes than anybody else. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Come to the Lord just as you are. You come to the Lord with your sin and you lay your sin at the cross and let Jesus' blood wash your sins away. That is the gospel message, the good news of the gospel. And if you've been convicted by that today or some other time and you've never confessed Jesus, now is the time, the opportunity for you to confess Jesus. You can do it even though you're in your bedroom or in your living room or your kitchen, wherever you're listening to me today. Maybe you're in your tractor. You just say, Lord, I have been a sinner. And Lord, you know my sin. Now I know I need a Savior. Now I know that my sin is separating me from you. And I want you to come into my heart. I give you my heart today. Lord, come in and wash me clean. Set me free from this bondage of sin that I can draw back to God, my Creator. And if you do that and you confess your sin, you can take all day to confess your sin if you want to, or you can take 5 minutes or even 30 seconds. Just confess your sin, repent, and turn from your wicked ways, and let every one of you then be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. The baptism is water that symbolizes the blood of Jesus washing your sins away, and that blood is perfect, precious blood shed on the cross, shed at the whipping post, and that cross that Jesus went to was a place of sanctification for us, purification for us, sacrifice and atonement for our sin that Jesus made on the cross. And we can be thankful to God that God provided his very own Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Peter said, for the remission of your sins, you shall be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you want to be baptized, you can email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you've made that confession and I can arrange to have you baptized through friends of mine who are godly men, and you can do that and get that accomplished in your life. Well, if you jump over to verse 41, this is the culmination then of all these thousands of people receiving the gospel in that day. Then those who were gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And so the New Testament church now is kicked off with 3,000 converts, plus the 120 who received the Holy Spirit at the upper room. So now we have 3,120 who have come to know the Lord Jesus, confessed his name, and been baptized. That is the beginning of the New Testament church. And again, I say, if you are in church or you've never been in church, read this second chapter of Acts over and over, and you will understand what the New Testament church is supposed to look like. You'll understand when you go to look for a church, or if you're in a church, if you're anywhere close to what the template, the blueprint, New Testament church is supposed to look like. And so then there's four things in verse 42 that the New Testament church exemplified, and it was a copy of what God had explained to them, shown them, and what the disciples had taught them, and they carried it out with zeal and with haste. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those four things are the hallmarks, the pillars of the New Testament church. Number one, the apostles' doctrine. Number one, it's very important to have sound doctrine. That's why you need to read your Bible. Don't just assume the pastor or the teachers in a church are teaching what is in the Bible. You read your Bible. You hold them accountable. You read your Bible. So maybe someday you can start to teach sound doctrine yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, that you can know how to rightly divide the word of God. And so sound doctrine is very important. Without sound doctrine, it's easy to get led off into the territory of the cults. Anything can happen when you get into a cult, even death cults. We've had a death cult here in Kenya the last couple of years at Shakahola. Over 450 people have been exhumed from the earth. They fasted until they died. And so all kinds of crazy stuff can come up and happen in cults. So it's very important that you have the apostles' doctrine and you study God's word, and you will not be led off into a cult. And the second thing is the fellowship. It's very important that you get into a church, put down your pride, and get into a church, find a good Bible-believing church, be there every Sunday, commit to sitting under good teaching, commit to service, commit to prayer, commit to encouraging each other. Hebrews 10:25 says that we are to encourage each other to good works and to fellowship, and not forsake the gathering of the saints. This is Paul that wrote this, not forsake the gathering of the saints, and so much more as the end day draws near. And so we're in the end day. The times are getting even more perilous, more crazy, and more difficult, more struggles. And so God says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints, and so much more as the end day draws near. Be in the fellowship, commit to going every Sunday, and get into a small group Bible study so you can study with others, be encouraged in your prayer life, be encouraged in your teaching, and that is God's plan for you. And then the third thing is the breaking of bread. That's the communion when we gather together. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Break the bread, which is symbolic of his broken body on the cross. Drink the cup of wine or the cup of grape juice, which is symbolic of the blood that he shed. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, some of you are gathering here and you're doing it unworthily. In other words, you're not confessing your sins. You feel no remorse for your sin and you feel no cleansing, because you're not coming to me with a sincere heart. You're not coming to me with a humble heart. And when you come in humility, God will wash your sin. He will continue to cleanse you. He will continue to sanctify you. Or Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that some of you are sick and even die because you're not coming to the Lord's Supper in a proper way, and you're not being cleansed of your sin and remembering your sin and confessing your sin. Well, the last thing is in prayers. So we come together. Jesus, let the house of God be a house of prayer. So we come together to pray together, to express our gratitude to God, and to ask God to give us provision, to ask God to give us direction, and to give us revelation. And so those four things, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers are the hallmarks, the pillars of the New Testament church. Then in verse 43, I'm going to close with this verse. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Well, fear, that's fear of God, reverence for God, awe of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 1, read that. It's all about wisdom. It's all about knowledge. It's all about understanding. You have to fear God and revere Him and honor Him to live a life that is worthy of God. And so fear came upon these people. Many signs and wonders. That is a sign that the apostles' doctrine was true, that the apostles' doctrine was correct. Even today, signs, wonders, and miracles follow the apostles. Even today, signs, wonders, and miracles are an important part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We serve a supernatural God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a God that can heal. We serve a God that can do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ever think or ask. And so we serve a God. He's not a man that he should lie. He's a supernatural God. He has a son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. Well, I hope you enjoyed these messages on the Holy Spirit. Study those passages, Acts 2 and John 14, 15, and 16, and you will start to get a grasp of who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants to do in your life. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We hope you come alongside this ministry. Support us. Sit down today. Write us out a check. We'd love to hear from you today. And let us know you have prayer requests. We'd be happy to pray with you. Thank you again for listening. Tune in next week. Have a great week. Stay tuned for contact information.